Zhang Fu, The Organ Systems of Traditional Chinese Medicine by Jeremy Wolf, page 38. Dryness. Traditionally, invasion of the body by external dryness was said to happen in China in the dry atmosphere of late autumn. Clinically, external dryness is not an important factor, and internal dryness is not usually considered as a separate category, but included in the patterns of heat and deficient yin. Dryness is a yang factor and injures yin and fluids. Signs of dryness are rough, dry, chapped skin, dry nose, mouth, lips and tongue, dry sore throat with dry cough and a little sputum, and dry stools. Both heat and dryness are yang and injure yin and fluids, and often occur together. Heat may have signs of dryness, but in addition may have signs such as redness, fever, perspiration, and feelings of heat. Heat is much more important of the two patterns. Fei is prone to the invasion by external dryness, which may manifest as dry cough, with no or scanty sputum, dry nose and throat, and possible pain or difficulty of breathing, as described on page 144. The effect of external dryness may be potentiated by external wind, which will increase the drying effect, or by the pattern of deficient yin, which is accompanied by deficiency of fluids. Summer heat. Traditionally, summer heat is an external factor only that occurs solely in summer. It may be associated with prolonged exposure to the heat of the sun or by staying in a hot room with inadequate ventilation. However, it would be hard to separate this effect from that of working in a hot environment, for example, a furnace, in a season other than summer. In other words, the same conditions might be alternatively described as external heat or summer heat. Summer heat is a yang factor which is said to consume qi and yin and disturb shen. Signs may be sudden high fever, excessive perspiration, red dry skin, restlessness, lassitude, thirst, shortness of breath, and concentrated urine. In severe cases, there may be sudden delirium or loss of consciousness. Summer heat is said to have an upward direction and a dispersive, expansive nature. Li Shichen states that it can scatter the qi and that the pulse may become empty. Summary. The effects of the six pernicious influences in the body resemble the effect of the six climatic factors in the external environment, the world of nature. For example, cold is associated with the slowing of movement and the reduction of activity in both the body and outside world. In the winter seasons, the energies of nature and of the body go deeper in, and there is less external activity. This is a season of rest and of stretch and of cold. In TCM, each of the six pernicious influences is seen not so much as a cause with specific signs for its effects, but as an integral part of an overall pattern. For example, heat is not a cause of the disharmony, it is a part of the disharmony, as are the internal pathological changes, the externally observable signs, and the functional framework of the body itself. Indeed, all these components of the pattern of disharmony are so closely associated as to be inseparable. A pre-existing internal disharmony may facilitate invasion of the body by an external factor, which may then aggravate that internal disharmony. The situation is not so much a linear chain of cause and effect, or even a vicious circle. It is more the simultaneous occurrence of phenomena interwoven into a pattern. Internal factors. These refer specifically to qi qing, the seven emotions: joy, anger, pensiveness, sorrow, fear, fright, and grief. Emotional imbalance affects the harmonious functions of the zangfu, the formation of the substances, and their transportation through the jinglu to all parts of the body. The seven emotions, the five feelings, and their relationships to five zang and to the origins of disease are discussed in greater detail in chapter 15. Miscellaneous factors. Bu Nei Wei Yin, the disease factors that are neither internal or external, otherwise known as the miscellaneous disease factors, include nutrition, occupation, overwork, exercise, relationships, sex, trauma, and parasites. All these categories include aspects of both body and environment. For example, trauma and parasites may involve factors from the external environment, but may arise from internal disharmony resulting in careless behavior. Constitution. The constitution may be defined as a general level of health and strength of the body at any given time. The constitution results from the continuous interaction between the inherited genetic makeup of the individual and the environment. Dr. Shen divides life into three parts: life before birth, childhood, and adult life. Life before birth. This period of life can be influenced by various factors. 1. The state of the gene of the parents prior to conception. Number 2. The state of the mother during pregnancy. Number 3. Events during birth. Disease may originate in one or more of these three main areas. The gene of one or both parents may be deficient, so that the sperm and or ovum are weakened. The mother may be ill, malnourished, emotionally disturbed, or taking drugs during pregnancy, and the birth may be abnormal, difficult, and prolonged. Hence, the baby may be born with illness or the predisposition to illness. This predisposition may be to general weakness, to particular types of emotional or mental imbalance, or to disease of particular zangfu or of particular areas of the body. Childhood. The subconscious mind of infant is an almost clean slate and is extremely impressionable to negative as well as to positive influences. Childhood is a time when negative experiences can etch themselves into the subconscious more deeply than in later life. Also, this is a time of greatest physical growth and development, when certain pressures on that physical body can have a great and lasting effect. For example, malnutrition, trauma, and excess sex. Adult life. Although less impressionable than childhood, adult life is longer, and the adult less resilient than the child to shock and illness. Problems must be dealt with as they arise, or they will both weaken the body and end themselves into it. Generally, if the constitution has been poor since birth, or if the specific disease has been present since that time, the prognosis is poor. If the problem is only recent or has only occurred during adult life, the prognosis is more favorable. There are, however, many cases of individuals who have had a difficult birth and sickly childhood, but who have later overcome these difficulties and have strong and healthy adult lives. Nutrition. Nutritional problems arise in three main categories. 1. Malnutrition. Deficient intake of basic requirements due to poverty, ignorance or folly, or impaired digestion, absorption and metabolism. 2. Excess. Excessive intake of food in general or of consumption of certain food in particular, especially of those foods which are particularly harmful in excess. 3. Unwise eating habits. Eating at irregular intervals, oscillation from extremes of feasting to extremes of fasting, eating with hurried or emotionally upset, etc. The effects of nutritional imbalance are generally either yin, associated with cold and often with deficiency, or yang, associated with heat and often with excess. In effect, insufficiency of food and drink may lead to deficient Qi, and to deficient Qi, deficient She, and deficient postnatal Jing. Excessive intake of cold or raw food and drink may lead to deficient Pi Yang, retention of fluid in the way due to cold, and invasion of Pi by cold and damp. Yang effects. Overeating or excessive intake of rich, greasy, fatty foods, sugary foods, contaminated foods, or alcohol may lead to retention of food in whey, blazing whey higher, accumulation of damp heat in Pi, damp heat invading Da Chang, damp heat in Gan and Dan, and blazing Gan fire. Occupation. Occupational problems arise in two main categories. 1. Physical. Many occupations have their characteristic hazards to health. For example, the prolonged slouched seated posture of clerical workers, the wear and tear on the joints of neck and shoulders and back of farm laborers, the leg circulatory problems of those who stand for long periods of time with little movement, the oral problems of those working in conditions of extreme noise. Problems arising in this area include structural damage to organs and tissues, and local or general retardation of the movement of qi and che in the Jin Luo. 2. Mental and emotional. The majority of individuals suffer to a greater or lesser degree from dissatisfaction with their occupation, from boredom, apathy, frustration, depression, or general stress. Retirement and loss or lack of a job can give rise to similar emotions. The different types of emotional disharmony are discussed in Chapter 15. Overwork. Overwork may result from one or more of the following: insecurity, greed, peer group pressure, perfectionism, ambition, whether for money, power, or fame, or the desire to further a political, religious, or charitable cause, and so on. Also, a particular loss or a generally unhappy life may result in individuals immersing themselves in work, as others immerse themselves in alcohol. Work is basically activity, and therefore excessive work will tend to deplete yang. Work that tends to injure Xin Qi and also Xin Yang, and hence Pi Yang. Too much mental work and study are said to injure Pi. Also, the strain of too much exertion may damage Xin Yang. If work is associated with mental and emotional stress, This may deplete yin, with deficient yin of shen, gan, and xin, and perhaps blazing fire in gan and xin. This is especially likely in persons already tending to deficient yin. Exercise may be considered in three main categories. Number one, insufficient exercise. Most people, and certainly most patients in the West, take insufficient exercise, and this is a powerful contributing factor to disease. If circulation of qi and quan is sluggish, then the operation of all body systems, or also of qi and quan, is sluggish. Then the operation of all body systems will also be sluggish, resulting not only in diseases associated with stagnation of qi and quan, but also with those associated with qi and quan deficiency and with the entry of external factors due to deficiency of wei qi. Number two, excessive exercise. While a 1 mile jog might be scarcely enough for a lazy overweight 25-year-old with an undemanding job, it may be excessive for a 70-year-old with a heavy workload. Excessive exercise will have the same effect as too much physical work. It will weaken qi of shen and xin. Number three, incorrect exercise. As with nutrition, requirements of both type and amount of exercise vary with the individual, and individual requirements change with time. Common sense and moderation are the key words here. A vigorous game of squash may be detrimental in the case of angina, just as parachuting is unwise for overweight patients with weak ankles. Less vigorous and drastic forms of exercise may be more appropriate here, such as swimming or hiking. Exercise that is unsuitable for a particular patient is likely to lead to strain and injury of organs and tissues, and to disturbance of the healthy circulation of qi and quan. Relationships. Diseases arising with the body in situation of difficult relationships with other individuals are often patterns associated with emotional disharmony. The various types of emotional imbalance are discussed in Chapter 15. Problems associated with close relationships may be especially difficult to help. This is due to the great amount of time that the individual has been and is exposed to close relationships, and hence to the depth to which patterns of behavior are ingrained, and to the power of the emotional pressures behind them. Sex. Sex is a matter so closely interwoven with the personal relationships as to be virtually inseparable from them. Hence, sexual problems are rarely of purely physical origin. For example, impotence, the inability to get or maintain an erection, is usually due to a combination of various emotional and mental factors, for example, anxiety, guilt, lack of confidence, and is often in terms of a particular relationship. Chinese texts generally regard excess sex as conducive to ill health. This is discussed on pages 71 to 72. With a population in excess of 1 billion, the Chinese do not emphasize problems arising from insufficient sex, although, as in any other area of health, both excess and deficiency may lead to difficulty, depending on an individual and the particular situation. Trauma, parasites, and pestilences. According to TCM, injury is accompanied by areas of local stagnation of qi and shen. Even after the local injury has healed and the local signs of injury have disappeared, a site of potential weakness often remains that may be activated at a later date. later recurrence of a problem in the area may occur when the flow of qi and xue has been weakened by age, cold, malnutrition, exhaustion, or further injury. Obviously, an event such as the loss of a relative is a shock to the emotional system and also a physical trauma, such as the loss of a leg, also carries with it a component of emotional shock. What is not so apparent is that mental, emotional factors may contribute to or cause perhaps the majority of physical accidents in the first place. So many car accidents, for example, are caused by tiredness, inattention, or the influence of alcohol or drugs. Tiredness may result from insomnia, so often due to emotional causes. Inattention may be caused by depression, anger, or the escapism of daydreaming. And consumption of alcohol and drugs result from emotional discontent. Trauma includes all accidents and injuries, whether they involve other human beings, animals, plants, or inanimate objects. Trauma includes, for example, burns, bites, and stings. Parasites is a vague, general term that includes infections and infestations. However, there is the further concept of Li Qi, or pestilences, which are considered as external disease factors, but as more or less distinct from the six climatic factors, and as able to invade even a healthy individual. Treatment as a disease factor. Physical injury may follow incorrect acupuncture treatment or mistakes, or difficulties during surgery. These injuries tend to lead to structural damage of the tissues and either to obstruction of qi and xue, accompanied by dull or severe local pain, or to sites of chronic inflammation and irritation with redness, soreness, and swelling. The former is often associated with local accumulation of cold and damp, and the latter with local accumulation of damp and heat. The use of inappropriate type or dose of Western medicines may lead to illness. This also applies to herbal medicines, but to a lesser degree. Even correct use of a very large number of Western medicines may lead to illness through their side effects upon the body. This rarely occurs following correct use of herbal medicine. The incorrect use or the side effects of the correct use of Western medicines and treatments may result in deep and lasting disharmonies of the mind, the emotions, and the physical body. The signs of these drug-induced disharmonies are very common in the West and can greatly confuse diagnosis. The practitioner must be aware of treatment as a common disease factor and must assess this possibility in every case. Secondary factors. There are certain secondary disease factors which may arise from the action of one or more of the primary disease factors which have been discussed above. Three of these secondary factors are extremely important in Chinese medicine and are discussed in detail in later chapters. Stagnation, discussed on page 180. Phlegm, discussed on page 84. Internal wind, discussed on page 113. The disease factors are discussed at greater length in chapter 17, in the section on patient education. Summary. In ancient China, in third world countries today, or indeed in any poor and mainly rural society, the external factors of disease are predominant. Malnutrition and prolonged exposure to extremes of climate are major factors. In the richer countries with greater industrial development, the pattern of the illness is different. The internal factors, especially emotional and mental stress and disharmony, are the main factors originating, aggravating, and perpetuating disease. However, human societies and the ecosystem of this planet are in a process of constant change and development. The rate of change is accelerating with the growth of communication system and of world population. In 50 years, the pattern of disease in all societies are likely to undergo great change, and the patterns of treatment must alter to match this.